It's just a short drive.
You can't drive.
The words shoot out of Mother, and then she says more calmly, School is out of the question. You're still recovering.
I'm fine.
Mother stands. I said, school is out of the question. Period. I hesitate, but then stand too.
And I say, it isn't.
Mother is shocked into a marble stance. Neither of us speaks. Finally, she looks away. She sits back down. She picks up her pencil. She's calm, smooth, practiced. The mother who seems to know where we are going before I do.
Go to your room, Jenna. You need to rest. Go. Now.
I am seething, outraged, incensed. The words, they're finally bubbling up in torrents just when I need them. But the will, it is waning. Mother says I should go to my room. Go to your room, Jenna. Go to your room. I do. The rage is doubling, multiplying, filling my vision like a black cloud. I can hardly see as each step brings me closer to my room. Go to your room, Jenna. And I am. I am. I collapse on the last stair and rock back and forth silently. What world have I woken up to? What nightmare am I in? Why am I compelled to do as Mother says, even when I have a desperate need to do something else? I rock in the dark hollow of the landing, feeling like I'm back in the silent vacuum where my voice is never heard. If Jenna Fox was a weak-willed coward, I don't want to be her at all. I hug my arms, trying to squeeze away the world. I hear a sharp voice. It is Mother. She is angry. At me? I did as she asked. I lean near the banister to listen. Lily's voice is angry too.
When will you admit you made a mistake? Stop it! You of all people should understand! If it weren't for in vitro, I wouldn't be here! You always called me your miracle. Well, why can't I have one too? Why do you get to decide when the miracles will end?
It's not natural.
Neither was I. You needed help. That's all I wanted.
I hear a strange noise. A sob?
Claire.
Please, Mother says. Her voice is soft now, almost a whisper.
Claire, you can't keep her hidden from the world. She wants a life. Isn't that what this was all about?
It's not that easy. It could be dangerous.
Walking across the street can be dangerous, but thousands of people do it every day.
I don't mean for her. There are others to consider.
Oh, them.
Lily's voice is mocking. Mother doesn't respond. The conversation seems to be over. I hear dishes clatter, and then a chair scraping across the floor. Silence threads through the house like a lace pulling tight. And then I finally hear the scraping of another chair and the sound of Lily sighing herself into place.
You know I don't care one way or another. I said goodbye 18 months ago. You can send her back to Boston as far as I'm concerned, but as I see it, you made a decision. Right or wrong, it's done. Now you have to move on. Are you her keeper or her mother?
I hear a choking sound, and then an almost inaudible, I don't know. Silence follows. No dishes, no chairs, no voices, no bending. Mother is done. So is Lily. Lily, the last person I expected to argue for me. At least I think that's what she did. But she would be just as happy if I were 3,000 miles away in Boston. Probably happier. I don't understand. I only know I will not be going to school. Claire said so.
Claire? I remember now. I didn't call her Mother. I called her Claire. I'm certain of it.
I finish the ascent of the stairs,
I go to my room. Claire told me to. I think I hate her. Jenna Fox, Year 10. I know the meaning, but I check again to be sure. Hate. Verb. 1. Intense dislike, extreme aversion or hostility. 2. To dislike passionately. 3. To detest. There's a better word for mother. Aggravating, maybe. But I think Lily's wrong. She does hate me. Her aversion is extreme. She nearly shakes me with her constant sideways glances. She hasn't spoken more than 4 words to me in as many days, but since she's been out in the greenhouse from dawn until dusk, it has been easy to avoid me. Our worlds only intersect briefly in the morning when the 3 of us sit at the kitchen table, and in the evening when we return there. I have been in my room watching discs. Mother asked me to. Her desperation for me to be who I was has intensified. As the Cotswold sees improvement, workers coming and going and restoring, it is like she expects to see the same measure of improvement in me. Restored shingles. Restored flooring. Restored Jenna. I don't want restoration. I want a life. Now. I want to move on. Those were Lily's words. It's ironic that her words should become my own. But I watch the discs. Because Mother told me to. I am halfway through Year 10 of Jenna Fox. I see a pretty girl. Her blonde, silky hair wags in a ponytail across her back. I have already seen her at diving lessons, another ballet recital, practicing piano, and now I see her running across a field, kicking a soccer ball. She is impossibly busy. Her life is so full I can hardly take it in, the complete opposite of the empty life, Jenna, I am now. She kicks the ball to a teammate, who in turn kicks the ball into the goal. A horn sounds. Fists fly into the air along with shouts. Teammates hug and lift one another, and Jenna is in the midst of it all. I hear father and mother, unseen behind the camera, cheering and finally calling me over. I run to them. I acknowledge their congratulations. I smile. I toss my head back to call to a friend, and I notice something for the first time. A thin red line just under my chin. Pause, I blurt out. Back, pause. The disc player follows my commands. I look closer at the still picture. Zoom. The thin red line becomes what I suspected. A scar. I walk to my bathroom mirror and tilt my face back. I run my fingertips up the length of my throat. I feel. I search. There is no scar. It's been 7 years since that video was filmed. Do scars disappear in 7 years? A glimpse. It's been 25 days since I woke up, 8 days since I went to the mission, 6 days since the new front walkway was laid, 5 days since the plumbing fixtures were replaced, 3 days since I last saw Mr. Bender through my window. 3 days of rain and 4,287 cold beads of water beating against my window panes. I'm good at math, after all. Without friends and a packed schedule to keep me busy, keeping track of time and numbers has become a prime source of entertainment. Watching the collecting rivulets of rain on my window has become a close second. February in California is cold. Not as cold as Boston. Not nearly. The net report says it has dropped to a low of 54 degrees. Oh, my, Lily had mocked. The temperature varies very little. Boredom reigns on all levels. The rain is a welcome change. I have seen the pond swell and the creek surge. I press my palm against the glass, imagining the drops on my skin, imagining where they started out, where they will go, feeling them like a river rushing, combining, becoming something greater than how they started out. I spend time on the net. Mr. Bender said there isn't a thing you can't learn about your neighbors there. Since he is the only neighbor I know, I learn things about him. He is famous. A recluse.
There are no pictures of him. Few people have ever met him. Quirky artist. And more. I type in the name Jenna Fox. I am overwhelmed with the hits. There are thousands. Which one am I? I turn off the net and realize I don't even know my middle name. It's too much work trying to become who I am, always having to ask others what I should already know. I lie on my bed staring at the ceiling, for hours maybe. Other thoughts replay, collect, finger out into more thoughts. Mr. Bender's birds and my untouchable palms. A watery blood bead on my knee. A baptism I remember. And visitors. I had visitors last night. Kara and Locke came to me again. In my deepest sleep, they shook me. Jenna! Jenna! I opened my eyes, but their voices stayed in my ears. I hear their voices even now. Hurry, Jenna! Come! Hurry! Hurry where? I see us at the commons. The memory's so vivid I can still smell the freshly mowed grass. We sit at the base of the George Washington Monument, squeezing close for shade, our legs stretched out before us in the long afternoon shadow. We are ditching our sociology seminar, and Kara is filling every space with nervous chatter, and when she laughs, her black bobbed hair shakes like a skirt at her shoulders. Locke keeps suggesting that we should go. No, Kara and I say together. It's too late, too late. And then the three of us are laughing again, exhilarated, bolstered together in our defiance. We are not comfortable with it. We are rule followers. This is new to us, and our courage comes from each other. I lean over and kiss Locke, hard on the lips. We explode in more laughter, and snot spurts from our noses. Kara repeats the kiss, and we are limp with our howling. I ache with the remembering. I roll from my bed to the floor and lean back against the wall, the way I leaned back that day in Boston. I had friends. Good friends. A curve. Mother is at the netbook when I enter the kitchen. She's talking to Father. I have talked to her little more than I have to Lily in the past few days. She is busy and distant. Lily is in the pantry rattling boxes. Morning, Mother says and returns to her conversation with Father. Jenna? Father calls. Morning, Father, I say. Come here, Angel. I stand behind Mother and look over her shoulder so he can see me. You're looking good, he says. How are you feeling? Fine. Any lapses? Pain? Anything unusual? No. Good. Good. He repeats himself a third time, and I sense he is filling time. Something wrong? I ask. No, not at all. I think your mother wants to have a talk with you, though, so I'll be going. Talk to you tomorrow. He clicks off. A talk. She frightens me with her control and sureness. I don't want to talk, but I'm sure we will. Claire commands, and it happens. Sit down, she says. I do. Lily walks out of the pantry and leans against the counter, her own busyness suddenly gone out of her. Mother looks like she's going to regurgitate last night's dinner. You're starting school tomorrow, she says. It's only at the local charter. It's the closest one. So you can walk for the days that they meet. Their emphasis is ecosystem studies, but there's nothing I can do about that. It will just have to do. The others are too far, too crowded, and too... Well, they simply need too many forms that we can't provide right now. You're all registered, and they're expecting you. Unless you've changed your mind about going to school? After a long pause, I realize her last sentence is a question. No, I answer. I haven't changed my mind. I am still backtracking, trying to absorb everything she has thrown at me. School? Tomorrow? I thought it was out of the question. How did this happen? I pause in sorting out the turnaround, and I finally notice her. Her eyes are glassy puddles, Her hands rest in her lap, weakly turned upward. The steady stream of words has ended, and she looks spent from the effort.
"Are you happy?" she asks.
I nod. Is it a trick? This is not what